Okay, we're going to talk now to Steve Lau from Lawrence Berkeley National Lab. He's working on some of the security stuff here at the conference. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you've got this monitoring system here that we're looking at that has this neat visualization of all of the sort of malicious traffic that's floating around in the network here. If you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my name is Steve Lau, and we have here is the ability to view malicious traffic on the internet and show some of the attendees here how there's just the general level of malicious traffic, bad traffic that's there on the internet. Here at Cynet, we don't have a firewall on our network, and a lot of our attendees come from locations that have firewall or have well protection around the perimeter. But here, we don't have that, and it's pretty much we're unprotected, we're exposed to the wild and open internet. Our attendees come here, they bring out laptops, stuff like that, demo machines, and the machines are immediately hacked or compromised either by worms or whatever. In order to try to mitigate that or reduce that, we try to do some education for our attendees. And what we've done is I've developed this visualization that just monitors, that uses a Bro intrusion detection system, which monitors the network at all times. And we just show the number of connections, attempted connections to either bogus machines or machines that are not listening to those ports, just worms and things like that. And we have this display. And what's the interesting part about it is you automatically can see various patterns like stripes and lines and giant blocks where essentially our machines are being port scanned. They're looking at all for constantly trolling our address space for vulnerabilities, for systems that have vulnerabilities. So,
all right. You know, we've spoken to some security folks before who have said that you know the statistics these days are something like are about 10. It takes about 10 minutes before a host on the network gets compromised or something like that. Much less than before you can download patches. Anyway, I mean, I guess you know, there's so much bandwidth coming in here that if you went to a firewall vendor and told them we want a firewall for a 10 gig link, I mean, what do you think they would say?
They would probably tell us yes, they could do that, but in reality, it most likely would not work. One other reason why we do not have a firewall here is because we have a lot of researchers and exhibitors who are trying out new prototype things and trying out different experiments, and they're utilizing a lot of these protocols that are in many ways deemed vulnerable or not allowed in many other institutions. And we don't know what vendors and exhibitors are bringing, and we don't want to accidentally stop them from doing something they want to do. And because we're trying to stress the network, try to get as fast as possible, we don't want to throw any speed bumps in the way that will potentially slow them down. And the worst thing we can do is to have an exhibitor who's trying to break a LAN speed record for network bandwidth, finding out that the firewall in the middle is slowing them down, or some other monitor device or security device is blocking them.
So we've already heard from people about how much bandwidth there is. Can you talk about how you're able to monitor for, you know, for intrusions and whatnot on that much speed?
Yeah, what we're using, we use several intrusion detection systems here on the show floor. We have Bro, which was developed at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab. It's a passive monitoring system. It monitors the link via either a router-based filtering, port mirroring, or through an optical tap. And we also have Sandia, it's a MON system, which was developed at Sandia National Lab. Very similar to Bro, where it actually monitors the TCP or UDP connections. So we have a team of about 4 or 5 people who are watching the network pretty much 24/7. Just looking for malicious traffic, looking for anything that our main concern here is that the show floor network is brought down by something, or because we have such a huge bandwidth here that someone uses our network to take out like a university or something like that, in which we could do that easily if someone is to use Cynet against that.
You know, say rad packet cannon.
Yes, we have a very rad packet cannon here. So you know, we monitor that, and we look, the Bro system and the MON system can look for worms, look for root compromises, look for people logging in as root, or looking for just pretty much suspicious traffic, and that's what we do.
Does this use like an ordinary PC to do this analysis?
Actually, yeah. That's what's interesting about this is that, you know, unlike a lot of the other equipment that we have here for the bandwidth, to bring the bandwidth in here, we're actually just using Pentium machines running FreeBSD. And both Bro and Sandia are essentially freeware developed by Department of Energy. It's available to the public. And, you know, the cost of these machines essentially is a Pentium box, a souped-up Pentium box running FreeBSD. So the cost of that is very, 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 very low. And it works great.
How many of them does it take? I mean, we had someone from telling us that there were something like 17 10 gigabit links. Are you actually able to watch all of that?
Yeah, we're actually able to watch all of that, and currently what we had originally set up was we have one system monitoring what's called a commodity link, which is those are the ones going to AOL, Yahoo, and things like that, right? Then we have four systems originally was planned, and two of them would be running Bro, two would be running Mon, and those would be watching the other links to the research network, such as Internet 2, ESnet, which is the DOE's network, National Lambda Rail, and those other networks there. So we have total of about five IDS machines monitoring all the traffic here, and it's able to keep up pretty much.
So there's this wall of shame that's up on a big screen on the convention floor. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Once again, like we're saying, we're trying to do some education outreach to our attendees because for one thing, it's unfun for us to constantly be running around telling people that their machines have been compromised. So we try to teach people that, you know, the internet is a very hostile place. So we have this wall of shame. Hopefully to public humiliation will, you know, teach these people or get them to at least think about security. With our IDSs, intrusion detection systems, we're able to capture clear text passwords. You know, it's a stunt pretty much. So what we do is we capture all the clear text passwords we can, and we have a big giant plasma display screen that shows it in real time, the password that we capture and also the number of times they've been used. Next to it, we have also part of the wall of shame, we have a running total tally of all the different security incidents that we've had here, such as currently as of this time, we've had six Linux root compromises. We've had seven clear text root logins. Inbound scans, we've had over 4,000 of them so far. One of the more fun ones is we've had one repeat root compromise. In other words, we've gone out, told them they have a root compromise, they've supposedly patched the machine, they put it back on the network, and they've had yet another root compromise yet again. So we keep a running tally throughout the entire week, and it's kind of a fun thing, and hopefully get people thinking about security.
And do you feel like you've gained any educational points through your initiatives?
Yeah, one thing that a lot of security people do is we're exposed to this all the time, and you know, a lot of stuff that we think about, like clear text passwords, we think is, you know, old hat. But the greatest things for us is when we have people standing outside of the plasma display screen, just like in awe about the fact that, you know, that's my password. They'll go up there and they'll point to their password, and, you know, their badge is flapping there with their home site there, and they're saying, you know, that's my password up there. How can you do that? You know, and the other thing is with the Cube of Doom showing the level of malicious traffic, majority of the people that see that are just like astounded and amazed that there's just this fundamental inherent background radiation level noise of just worms and scanners just constantly going on the internet. And you mentioned earlier how, you know, there's reported that within 10 minutes, if you plug in a Windows XP box, you'll be compromised, right? In our experience here on the show floor, it's less than that. It's almost instantaneously, you know? And we have exhibitors here, when we go to them and tell them that, you know, that their booth has been compromised, they come to us saying, oh, it must be because I am vendor X, right? It must be because of that, when in fact it's not. And we show them, you know, the fact that there's all this level of malicious traffic. It's, you know, when you're not being targeted, it's just all this stuff constantly going on the internet.
Do you get a sense of it? Have you seen any direct attacks on the supercomputing site as a result of it being so high bandwidth and fairly high profile among the computer industry?
You would think that would be the case, but we really don't see that at all. For one thing, we have a really, really big bandwidth. So us being essentially DDoSed off the network is highly unlikely. the more likely is someone using us to DDoS somebody else, but that hasn't happened yet. Cross your fingers. But no, we haven't really been seen as a, we really haven't been targeted as much. So with
when we were talking to a security person the other week, they were talking about a lot of the problem being, you know, upload traffic, and there's a bandwidth cost and whatnot. But I mean, with a couple of new worms came out today.
Yeah.
I mean, have you had some of these machines get compromised and just start spewing? I mean, you said you haven't DDoSed anyone, but is the upload worse than the download, or is it all just coming in at you?
It's just pretty much coming in at us. When last year, 2003, I can talk more about it better because we now have a better view of what happened. Last year, a lot of the Welchia worms were just coming out. Blaster worms were coming out. So we saw a lot of those type of infections. And those were coming inbound. They infected us. And then the machines were going outbound and essentially attacking other sites. So that was a concern for us. Like I said, once again, our concern is if enough of the machines get compromised here, because we have a big pipe, they can start really attacking people out there, especially with the blaster worms and Welchia worms. So.
We were talking before a little bit about the background noise on the internet and sort of the ratio of good traffic to bad traffic. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, what's interesting is we've been running the Bro Intrusion Detection System at Lawrence Berkeley National Labs now since the mid-90s, and we've been monitoring all this traffic ever since then. So we have really good, some pretty good statistics about internet traffic, at least showing up at our border. And one of the things that we've seen is comparing it from the mid-90s. Back in the mid-90s, about 90%, we guesstimated about 90% of the traffic showing up at our border or going crossing our border was legitimate traffic. 10% was either vulnerability scans or just malicious traffic. Now, we've seen it totally flipped. About 10% of our traffic is legitimate. 90% of our traffic is either just worm traffic, knocking on a door, vulnerability scans, just regular spam email, or just email viruses coming across our border. So it's kind of an interesting flip that we've seen within the past decade or so of the level of just bad stuff on the internet. So people always ask me, where are we going from here, since we're already at 90% malicious traffic? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I think it's just going to get worse.
So. I mean, there was a sort of a big gloom and doom story in Wired magazine a while ago, kind of talking about this, and they were predicting that the internet was just going to collapse under all this traffic. I mean, I think that we kind of hope that the spam, that maybe the tide is about to turn on the spam. You know, there was a high profile conviction actually just a few days ago in Virginia. But yeah, it's certainly up in the air with all these viruses and worms. I mean, it seems like it's at a breaking point that if it gets very much worse, that people just are not going to be able to take it anymore.
Yeah, I never really subscribe to these gloom and doom scenarios because the internet was constructed by some very, very bright people, and if the internet starts breaking, so to speak, under the weight of this stuff, I put my trust in very, very bright, crafty people to figure out ways to get around it, to find a way to deal with this. And I think that we'll see some new things coming down the... People will come up with solutions so that the internet will not break, is my belief. With computer security, in many ways, it feels like an arms race all the time. The attackers are developing new forms of attacks as fast as the white hats are coming up with new ways to mitigate them. And I think that will be ongoing and forever from now on. And as soon as there's more spam or viruses and stuff like that, we'll come up with better ways to combat them. So.
Well, we certainly hope so.
So is this sort of the same thing you do at your job at LBNL, or?
Yeah, I do computer security at the National Energy Research Scientific Computer Center, which is called NERSC, which is stationed at LBNL. We are a large unclassified computing center. And so we use the Bro system along with several other systems to essentially do monitoring and do computer security incident response.
As a security person, I think you've done this show a couple of years. Which is more fun? Is it more fun to have a? I presume the National Lab is pretty well secured. Is it more fun to have a wild network where you're not responsible for machines that get hit, just making sure that they don't do too much damage, or is it more fun to really feel like you're holding down your fortress?
It's kind of nice not having like any eventual responsibility. We can just go up to the vendor and say, you know, your box is eaten, and we yank the network and just walk away. So that's kind of that's kind of fun. It's kind of some weird gratification of doing that and just walking away and saying, you know, your problem, not mine. But like at NERSC and LBNL, we're an unclassified site, and we're very similar in many ways to Supercomputing Conference itself. We do unclassified research, and we do have a lot of researchers from all over the world doing very interesting things. So we don't filter, and we don't have a massive firewall at our border. We filter some traffic, but by and large, we're very similar to SC in that we're just wide open. So in many ways, we have the same problems here at SC as I do at my current job. And, you know, it's a challenge in both locations. I enjoy this here because it's kind of dynamic, and we don't really know what all is going to happen. And we don't know what all is going to be on the show floor. We're at my work. We kind of know we know what's there. We kind of know what people are doing. This is more dynamic, ever-changing, always different every year. So.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, if you only had one thing that you could get end users to do to improve their security, what would it be?
Patch your systems. Please patch your systems. That's the number one thing you could do, because if your system's not patched, your system's just going to get eaten.
All right, Stephen Lau from Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, thank you very much.
And thank you very much.